I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
Ah, yes.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet.
No.
You think he'd say any more there, don't you? But yeah. He doesn't. He goes against the mould, breaks the mould, doesn't rhyme.
Well done, Sharon. Well done.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Bit gross. Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks?
Okay.
And darling, I will.
Yeah.
Till I'm 70.
Right. Loving you till you're 70, and then after 70, you can
get out.
Go fuck yourself.
Get. Pack your bags
yeah.
and walk slowly.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Out the door.
Yeah.
Pack your bags and waddle your way out.
Right. The cutoff is 70.
Be mind yourself. I still care.
Yeah.
I still care about you. I don't want you to hurt yourself on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't love you anymore.
Right.
And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just a touch of a hand. If you've ever fallen in love because someone's touched your hand,
I think that's
a bit creepy.
Right.
He touched my hand and then I was in love with him. Take me into your loving arms.
Right.
I'm full of cold.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss me under the light of 1,000 stars. Oh, fucking hell. It takes a lot of time to get going.
When's the chorus?
I think we're in the chorus.
All right, okay.
Place your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah. You should have a more realistic version of the song.
Yeah.
When the relationship's getting a bit tired. Do you know what I mean?
I think your sister's attractive. I'm just
thinking out loud.
You have to keep putting your hands up.
Just
thinking out loud. I'm
just thinking out loud.
There are no wrong ideas in a brainstorm.
Absolutely.
I just think your older sister's, she's got something going on there.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe because I shouldn't. Maybe because I shouldn't want to. Kind of makes me want to.
Yeah. I just think your ethical veganism doesn't tally with the fact that you wear sweatshop clothes. Just thinking out loud.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Just thinking out loud.
I'm thinking out loud about, I know how you're always telling me that I need to go vegan, but you find all those recipes on your iPhone, which is a product that's made by slaves. When they farm that mineral that goes into the battery, people die.
Whoa, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just thinking out loud.
Whoa. Threesome? I'm just thinking out loud. I just think we could pep this baby up a bit. I just think this ship's a little bit anchored to the harbour. Hey, whoa. I'm just thinking out loud. Hey. I like when I don't have a drummer, so I tap on the guitar.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And the song is Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On with my vocal on top.
You know when guitarists do that?
Yeah. Do you like the video to this song? Oh yeah, I like it.
Loop stations as well. You know what they are?
Or little.
You know when they go.
Yeah.
And then it doubles up.
It's like a sampler.
Oh yeah. They go. I'm not, by the way, knocking Ed Sheeran. I know he uses a loop station.
Right, okay.
I think Ed's a very talented man.
I like his video. I like the video for that song.
Hard working guy.
Thinking out loud.
Good pop writer.
Yeah, for the video.
And I also think if you're going to be the biggest pop star in the world, I think he's a good role model as well.
Okay.
You know, he's not like taking his shirt off and doing synchronized dance moves and singing about how much the girl wants it.
Uh-huh.
I like that about Ed.
He doesn't. He's not cruising down.
And I didn't go to Brit school. Yeah. You know that one,
right?
I feel like Ed Sheeran drives a Peugeot just because he just likes to get from A to B.
He's grounded.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I like about old Eddie.
Reliable car.
I think he just he doesn't see a car as something luxurious. He sees it as it's functional.
Yeah, it's a functional.
He wants to get back to his parents' house.
And get some groceries.
Yeah.
The videos he does, he kind of reinvents himself each time. Because thinking out loud, he's like dancing around doing like tango moves.
Is he?
With a brilliant...
Some soft focus.
The video's really good. It's in this big ballroom. And it's just this sweeping camera sweeping around him and this dancer. But then I was in the gym the other day, because I go to the gym now.
Cool.
And on the TV...
So you probably just went as a one-off, right? Or have you joined as a member?
No, I joined as a member.
Oh, wow.
I even had a protein shake. But the other video with Ed Sheeran in is his boxing. So he's like, it's a black and white, and he looks really muscular and buff. So he's kind of keeps you guessing each way. You know, he's a really good dancer in one. Then he's like, I don't know, Rocky Balboa in the other one.
I was in the gym and I saw a video by a band called Maroon 5.
Oh, Maroon 5, yes.
Started their
career. I'm aware of their work.
Started their career as like a sort of John Mayer-y pop rock band.
Yeah.
With that song. And then they had... Then I think what happened in Maroon 5's career, right? I might be wrong here.
Right.
But I think they had a 5-album contract, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They did the first album, which was massive, and then 2, 3, and 4, not that good. And the label went, look, we're going to drop you unless you have some hits. So then they went in with all the co-writers, like the Max Martins and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And then they came out with... That one.
Right.
Came out with these fucking mega pop hits, but that sound totally different, right?
Yeah, okay.
Not judgment. It's just an observation and a guess that maybe that's what happened. But I was watching a video of theirs where they turn up at a wedding...
Oh, I saw that.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
What's that song called? It's called like Strawberry Dildo or something. Sugar.
I am going to be judgy about this. I did hate it.
Right? But what I don't get about that video...
I did hate that.
So they're at a wedding, right?
Yeah.
And then they set up this like thin veil
that
the band's behind. So you would have seen them going behind the veil. And also, and then the veil drops and everyone's like, oh my God, we had no idea Maroon 5 were at the wedding. But there's a camera crew there.
No, but I read
but so they're about actors. This. They're obviously actors.
No. I read about this. And so the idea is... Well, I think the way they did it is they set up this veil, the wedding band veil. And I think they got people to come in after they set up the veil and then there was the reveal. But I read about it and most of them were actors. There was a couple of occasions where they actually did a genuine wedding.
Yeah, they all look too beautiful.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone... Because if it was real, there would be a pissed uncle who hated Maroon 5.
Exactly,
throwing shit.
Exactly. There's no crying toddler. Sliding around on its knees.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no guy just, you know...
There's no racist... there's no racist aunt.
No, it's okay.
You know? There's no shot of the woman who's too old to stand up and dance.
Yeah.
Even though she really wants to.
Yeah.
All the real things that happen at weddings.
It's a bit aggrandizing in the sense that, why don't we do a video where everyone's really happy to see us?
Yeah.
And in fact, it's no longer about their wedding anymore. It's about us. Why didn't we do that? And everyone's like, yeah, that's awesome. What's the name of the singer?
Adam Levine.
Because Adam Levine, all I know is that the first album Maroon 5 did was all about his girlfriend who dumped him and he was really bitter about it. Do you know what I mean?
That's fine.
But like,
what's wrong with that? That's how most great art is made.
But all his videos were like,
what is art without bitter anger?
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was pathetic hurt that he sent out into the world. It wasn't in coruscating, biting.
Most great songs come from rage, don't they? From like, fuck you, I don't need you.
Yeah, but it's not rage against the machine. It's more like whine against the machine for him.
Hello, and welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday, the 3rd of May. How's it going, guys? Spring is here. Welcome to all the new listeners.
Welcome to our dojo.
Welcome. Come in. Sit down. Cross your legs.
Yeah. Have a Muller Fruit Corner. Have a Muller Fruit Corner and
sit
down.
But fold the corner in. Don't dip.
Don't dip.
That's weird. The dipping's odd.
You got to fold it into the main body.
Have a Crunch Corner as well if you're feeling, you know, like you want to throw a caution to the wind. What's happened this week? Can I just play you this?
Yeah, sure.
Is this going to work?
Yes.
So do you know the singer Leo Sayer?
Yeah. What did he do again, Leo Sayer?
Leo Sayer was a singer, I guess, in the 60s and 70s. I think he was a bit of a poster boy.
Mm-hmm.
And someone sent me this the other day. This is him on the radio, on Radio 2.
Say, but Mm-hmm. You very successful in Southeast Asia. What? Why in particular do you think that is? Oh, I know that you're successful all over the world, but why there?
Yeah, it's the number two karaoke song in Korea and Japan. I don't know about North Korea. Only Donald knows about that. But I basically... I go there and it's, you know, whoa, whoa, hing pong tao, ni no pai ha na wai tao. I'm making that up, of course.
Yeah.
Even the DJ's like, let's move this along, Leo.
Yeah, don't do the racist impersonation, please.
To be fair, the Chili Peppers did that, didn't they?
They did.
Ning ning nong nong ning ning nong nong ning ning. And they sold like 20 million copies doing it. Do you have that one more time?
Yeah.
It's, you know, whoa, whoa, hing pong tao. I'm making that up, of course.
I love that he's
making that up, of course. And he goes, yeah.
I'm not actually speaking Korean here. Just in case you thought maybe I had...
I just want to clarify, it was a racist generalization. It wasn't me trying to speak it.
It's, you know, whoa, whoa, hing pong tao. I'm making that up, of course.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Leo,
you just get to a point of success and you lose sight of everything. Like,
well,
Nastasi.
He's just an old guy. He's just an old man as well.
It's like that Romanian tennis player Nastasi.
What did he do?
Well, just the last couple of weeks he got in trouble. He said some racist things about Serena Williams' unborn kid.
Oh no! And is he a tennis player?
Yeah, Nastasi was like a champion tennis player in the
60s. Oh, was?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Romanian. So he's like getting older now, but he's kind of...
How old is he? 60?
He's probably in his 60s, yeah. Okay. And he's just showing his hand now and just being really... just says things offhand that are a bit racist. And so he got hauled up because of it. And he's completely baffled as to why it would be offensive as well.
What did he say?
I think he said something along the lines of Serena Williams' unborn child is going to come out milk chocolate because they're white dad. And then something else.
That's not racist.
He keeps calling everyone bitches as well.
Okay, well that's bad.
He was like a coach on one of this tennis tournament recently. He was just...
Is milk chocolate racist?
It's sensitive.
I'm milk chocolate.
Serena Williams took exception.
Well, hang on a minute. My dad's white, my mum's black, and right. I came out milk chocolate. I think that's quite a nice... I'd be happy if my birth certificate said milk chocolate.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or chocolate milk. Or chocolate love.
Yeah.
I guess... I don't know. I don't see that as too bad.
Yeah.
I guess it's the tone, the cadence in which you say it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go, oh, her baby's going to be milk chocolate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What else happened this week? There was the Met Gala last night.
What's that?
I have no idea what that is.
The Met Gala.
The Metropolitan Gala, right? And it's where all these celebrities go and they go down the red carpet and everyone's dressed really lavishly.
Yes.
I have no idea what it is.
So you don't know what they do when they get inside the building?
I have no idea what it is. Everyone freaks out about it and says, well, it's the Met Gala and then Vogue and Cosmo and all the big people are like, and then let's see what they wore and if they look good and oh no. We judge that person based on their dress, what not to wear. Da, 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 right? And then they go up the stairs, up this big red carpet.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I think it's just then they're outside again.
Right. I'm always impressed with people who can do the red carpet well, in the sense that, you know, you have, particularly women, they do this pose where they look over their shoulder. Do you know that one? Do you know what? You're like wearing a dress, and you're looking over your shoulder, so you kind of...
Yeah, they do the look back.
They do the look back.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, look at my shoulder, look at my spine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think when you turn back, it tightens the underneath of this chin.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you look better. And then also you get people who are like, they kind of know where the camera is, so they kind of look slightly down. Rather, because it's apparently quite unflattering getting photographed from underneath.
Did you know that the key to the good red carpet photo is to not smile?
Yeah, don't smile and squint a little.
That's the key. Someone said that to me once. They were like, if you're ever on a red carpet, and I went, I think you're vastly overestimating my talents.
Right, yeah.
If you're ever on a red carpet, Josh, I went, that's never going to happen. They went, Josh, just listen to me. If you're ever on a red carpet, don't smile.
Yeah.
Because then it makes your face look more framed.
Right.
Something like that.
Well, you're pretty miserable anyway. So
I don't really smile.
There's no risk.
Anyway. Okay, the Met Gala, formerly called the Costume Institute Gala, also known as the Met Ball, is an annual fundraising gala for the benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Costume Institute. It's a fucking fundraiser for people to wear nice clothes.
Right.
It's not even for charity.
No.
It's a gala for rich people.
Yeah. Guys, I just want you to watch, you know, someone gets up to present an award or whatever. And I just want you to watch this video. Roll VT. This is a dress. This dress was made last week. And it was worn only once. The dress is now in storage. But with your help, we can get that dress out of storage and onto somebody again at a function very much like this. Just £1,000 gets the dress off the rack for a day. £5,000 gets it out for a month. Please, dig deep. Think big.
Met Gala.
Let's get that dress out.
Hashtag Met Gala. Okay, we're going to take a short break here and hopefully there'll be some adverts and we'll see you in a second.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back. You know, last week we were advertising Alien Covenant, Ridley Scott's new movie.
I'll never go and see that film.
Why?
Not because it's bad. Not because it's just I can't watch those. I can't watch the inevitable scene where someone gets shut in with an alien and they're screaming through a window for them to be helped. I feel terribly uneasy watching it. Yeah, it's just horrible.
I'm definitely going to go watch the Alien Covenant.
It's just, you know, and those face huggers are like, you know, like mean vaginas.
Yeah, the puppets on Alien are really well made because it's like penis and vagina.
Yeah, it's kind of tapping into some weird fear that everyone has about genitals.
You have the big alien.
Yeah.
That's shaped like a dick.
The big frontal lobe.
And then it opens its mouth and there's another penis in its mouth.
Yeah, yeah,
as
exactly.
Well.
Yeah.
And then you have the one that goes down the throat.
It lays eggs inside you.
That looks like a... It opens up like a...
Like a...
I mean, not to sound crude, but it opens up like...
Yeah.
You know.
A hoo-ha.
A hoo. And then they... But they both kill you.
Yeah, they both kill you. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And then the one that comes out of your stomach looks exactly like a penis.
It's just like the stuff that... It appeals to all those fears, like something getting inside you.
Do you think that was a phone call that Ridley Scott made when they first started making the film? And they were like... He was like, boop, boop, boop. Hey, is that the prop department? They were like, yeah, hi, it's Ridley Scott here. I don't know why he talks like that. Yeah, hi, Mr. Scott. We're down in the props department. Yeah, I was going to come down after I ate my tuna mayo sandwich. That's weirdly specific, but I guess it is the 70s, so that would have been a sandwich that existed back then. It's a design classic, the tuna mayo sandwich. A little bit of cucumber for the crunch. Perfect. Mm. Absolutely perfect sandwich. A little bit too salty. But anyway, carry on. Sorry, Mr. Scott. What were you saying? So I was going to come down to props and have a look at what you guys are up to. Yeah, we wanted to ask you, what do you think we should be going for with the alien looks? Well, I was thinking dicks and fannies.
I've FedExed over some material. Yeah, we got that. It's just pornography. Yes. Yeah, I just want you to leave through that and take a pic. Just
basically,
take a pic.
Make this fleshlight and dildo come to life.
Yeah.
Imagine that you've tossed the dildo up into space
and
it's become an alien.
And it's become alive.
And now it's come back down to...
And it's built a spaceship and it's come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want Morph and Me meets E.T. meets Mars Attacks meets penises and vaginas.
I want,
and I'm going to have Sigourney Weaver just walking around in her underwear with a cat.
I want a marauding dildo. And it must be marauding. I want it to maraud.
Mm.
Are you guys okay down there? Yeah, we're doing loads of acid, Ridley. We're doing a lot of acid down here at the moment. So, we'll get back to you in a week.
Every week, you can write into the show, ebp at excitableboypodcast.co.uk. Any problems that you might be having, please write in and we will give you our advice on how to cope with those problems. Okay. Might be a work-related problem, like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. You've been working at the same company for a good few years, and you've started to do judo. You're really excited about the judo that you're starting to learn on the weekends, so you come in one day and you tell Ralph, your workmate, and he goes, "That's nothing, mate. I know jiu-jitsu, and I'm a ruddy black belt, a black belt.
Jiu-jitsu,
red black belt." And then you go, "Well, I know judo, and I'm doing pretty well. I'm only on the blue belt, but maybe we can, you know, spar together or whatever we do." And someone passing by goes, "Yeah, do it. Let's see who wins. Go on, have a martial arts off." And you go, "Okay, I'll do that." So you try to do some judo on the jiu-jitsu person, and Boris kicks your ass. There you go, and it's embarrassing, and you have to write into the show.
Let's go 90s acoustic song on this. You ready?
Right.
Or maybe it's a relationship problem, like...
Oh, God. Okay. Nice, yeah, I like it.
Just to set the scene for this relationship problem, you're in a big empty house in a 90s music video, and the camera's following you around.
Okay.
You know, like, "You say..."
Okay.
"I only hear what I want to..."
"You're going out with a girl named Sarah.
Sarah.
She likes you a lot. Of late she's introduced some sexual fantasies, and she says, 'I want to eat food off your body.' She wants you to be an inanimate object while she eats food off you. So you agree and you get blindfolded and you go on all fours and pretend to be a naked coffee table while she eats her food off you. It's happening, you're feeling so close to her, it's feeling so good. Then suddenly you open your eyes and you see another man eating off your buttocks. Another man's there, he's eating food off you too. And he's smiling a smile at her, and she's smiling a smile back that you've never seen before. And it's getting you jealous, it's getting you jealous, so you pipe up. 'If I'm gonna be a fucking table, could you not invite other men in to eat food off my butt, please? Is this, you never mentioned this, and this isn't what we agreed.'" And they laugh, and you get very upset. And he starts to scoop hummus off your tits. And that's enough, for you. So you get up and throw all the food off your back, and you storm out, and you get an Uber. You have to flag a cab because Ubers won't pick you up naked. And then you eventually get a cab, and you go home, and you reassess the relationship right into the show. There you go. It's, if someone wants to eat food off you, just make sure it's a party for one.
A party for one.
And have twiglets.
"Love isn't always an edible thing, yeah. Girl, I got a hungry heart, but that don't mean that I want you to eat eating things off of my body.
No, 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 no."
Or maybe it's a sexual problem, like...
"Ooh, yeah. You get turned on by people dumping you."
First letter. "Dear EBP, my friend / ex-housemate just got back from a year of travelling. He went to some sort of conservation thing and helped animals or something."
Right.
"I'm trying to keep this short so you don't have to read a long letter out. He's basically become a total bellend since he got back. The only word I can think of is hippie-fied. Anything I do, whether it's buy a shirt or a drink, he has some patronizing thing to say about the environment or my lack of perspective on the planet and how small we are. His parents paid for this trip, FFS.
Yeah.
I remember three nights before he left when he took cocaine in the disabled toilet on the baby changing shelf. This man is not a saint. I don't want to stop being his friend, but I feel like I need to tell him to grow up. What should I do? P.S. Can't wait to see the Kenneths at Brixton. When are you releasing new music? Well, let's answer your letter first.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's come back wearing one of those big cardigans with sort of white man dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Tied back.
Yeah.
You know, with some wooden hoops in his ears.
Yeah.
More power to him. Do what you want. You only go around once. Be free. Live how you want to live. But just don't make other people feel like shit for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe just say that to him.
Get another friend. Get another friend.
No, just sit him down in the pub and go, just stop telling me how to live my life, you hemp-wearing knob. I respect your choices, but don't judge my choices.
Yeah. I think there's an assumption. I think you do meet people who kind of make that assumption that everyone else is stupid. You know, they kind of assume that no one's really thought about moral complexities and dilemmas, and they just kind of go, well, everyone's just a blind automaton who's following, you know, the man, and, you know, I see things differently. I think what's hard, the hardest thing of all is when you meet those people is that there's their assumption that you haven't thought about all this stuff. And also that you haven't thought about the contradictions. For example, like someone like that can also, you know, lecture and hold forth, but there's, you just have to look them up and down to see the hypocrisies. They, you know, they use items that are questionable at best.
Yeah.
In their modern, you know, in this kind of modern world that we've constructed for ourselves, things come at a cost to other people. I think he's a bit too, he sounds like a very black and white, head in the clouds-y kind of, not particularly bright guy, and yeah. It's, yeah, just set him straight.
All right, here we go, next letter.
There you go.
I didn't tell you about my road rage this week, did I?
No.
I went to see my mum on the weekend.
You got rage.
And I drove around a corner and a Jeep came round really fast.
Right.
Like really fast around this like blind corner and nearly hit my mum's car.
Right.
I stopped the car and it was a very narrow country lane.
Okay.
This car pulls up, nearly hits my mum's car, and we were on this narrow country lane and one of us had to reverse and we had this standoff. And I just sort of was gesturing at him. I was like, you've got to reverse. And he started shouting something through the windshield. So I just wound down my window. I was like, mate, you came around that corner too fast. I'm not moving my car. And then he got out of the car.
Really?
Yeah, he got out of the car, came over to me and went, where's the central reservation? And I went, there isn't one. And he went, exactly. I was like, well, that's not a point. Went, there's no central reservation. So, you know, you have to judge it yourself. And I went, no, you were going too fast around that corner.
Right.
And then I got out of the car.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. What happened?
I thought it was going to kick off.
Yeah, and then what happened?
I started spraying my scent just to ward him off.
You pissed on your tyres.
Yeah, exactly.
You sprayed your musk.
And I went, there's no central reservation. You were coming around that corner too fast. And he went, yeah, I was first. And I went, that's not what I said. I said you were coming around the corner too fast. You enter a social contract when you drive on these roads. Mm. You have to be cautious and assume that there's always another driver coming because there's not enough space for two cars.
Right.
And he got back in the car and we had another standoff.
Oh, really?
I sucked it up and reversed the car.
Really?
And I still regret it. But I gave him the finger when he drove off.
Wow, burn.
Because I think as I get older, I think I'm going to get beat up quite soon.
Right.
The older I get, the more annoyed I am at people who live their life like everything was made for them.
Right, yeah.
No self-awareness. Like, that road was made for that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, people who... You know when you're walking the same way... And you come up to someone on a pavement and you both try to avoid each other, but you both go the same way.
Yeah.
And then someone will go, ugh, like that. Like, you're in their way.
Yeah, that's
their pavement.
Right, yeah.
It's just really getting under my skin as I get older.
Right.
So I think it's going to end up with me getting stabbed.
Yeah. Incidentally, he employed a very good tactic, that when you're in the middle of a fight, like a verbal argument, even though you have no point, you just say exactly, and that buys you time. Yeah. So let's see, for example, like you could argue anything. It's like, yeah, there's oxygen in space. There isn't oxygen in space. Exactly. You're like, that, what?
Here's another one as well. Here's another good one.
Another
good one is ask me a question, like we're having an argument. Ask me a question.
Why did you put the coffee there?
Well, that's a very good question, Tim. Why did I put the coffee there?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's buying time. Whenever anyone says, that's a good question,
yeah.
they're thinking about the answer
of course.
as well.
Or take a drag of a cigarette.
Yeah. Okay, next letter. Dear EBP, this is terrible, but the other day my son opened my phone and found all my sexts to a guy I'm seeing. He's 16, I'm 40. Wait, you're seeing a 16-year-old and you're 40?
No, his son's.
Oh,
this is her son's okay. 16.
Yeah. That makes sense. That would have, so she would have been 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good age. Good age to have kids.
Solid.
When I got my phone back, he was very quiet. And when I looked at my apps, I could see he had opened my WhatsApp, which included lots of sexting and even some pictures I've sent.
Oh God. No.
I'm mortified and don't know what to do. What would you do if you found something like that as a teenager? I'm worried he's going to grow up a weirdo now and it'll all be my fault.
I think it's fine. I think he's 16, he's old enough. It's not like he's like 10. He's 16, so he's old enough to know that you're a human being and a sexual being and you have your own life as well. So even though it's horrible and you're like, oh, fuck, like, and he will remember that until he dies, it's still pretty healthy because then he'll be like, it's just a rite of passage, I think. It's unfortunate, but I just don't mention it. There's no point. You're not going to get any mileage out of bringing it up. So just, I think it's a positive thing in the long run. In the short term, I don't think it's traumatic, I don't think. When you're 16, I think if you're like 9... and you open up like a sexy
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, at 16, of your mom, he's got other things on different. His mind. He's got other things on his mind, which is how long can I be in this locked bathroom until my parents get suspicious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there are other things going on there.
But it's humanizing to you. It's humanizing now, you know, I mean, all kids have to go through that phase of seeing their parents who were once gods become human. And this is one of those examples. And I think that's healthy. So now, as we kick on.
Yeah, he may not have seen the pictures either.
Yeah.
Also, you're a woman, you're a mum, you're single, you have needs.
Okay. And that WhatsApp is good. End-to-end encryption. You know? End-to-end encryption.
I think that's a lie.
End-to-end encryption.
I think that's a lie.
If you're going to take a dick pic, stick it on WhatsApp.
But I don't think that's true.
Not even the MI6 can see it.
I don't think that's true. I think that if the police are James hunting Bond. You, they can find it pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a bit of a lie.
Yeah.
In today's surveillance culture.
Now, last letter. Right. Dear EBP, I've recently got to know my friend's neighbour. After a night out, we all went back to hers. She is a lot older than me. I'm 23. She is about 50. She's basically, she's married to a guy, but she insists it's for visa purposes only. But I met him too, and he seemed pretty into her. We exchanged phone numbers earlier in the evening when she couldn't find her phone, so I called it for her. And the next morning she got a text saying we should meet up sometime and other flirty things. That's quite a good tactic, that, isn't it?
What?
Like, oh, I've lost my phone, can you call it? And then you've got their number?
Oh, yeah.
Clever.
That's creepy.
Clever.
Bit creepy, though.
Clever girl.
Right.
We're being hunted.
Is that Jurassic Park?
Ran. Yeah.
Right.
What I'm asking you two is, should I have sex with this older married woman? I mean, I know I shouldn't, that's a given, but these opportunities come once in a lifetime. But, all right, Eminem. What's the chords there? This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Snap back to reality. Oh, the husband walks in, and even though you think it's just a marriage of convenience, you said that he seemed pretty into her. You hear the door slam, and you're not wearing any clothes. You think, oh my God, this is it. This is how I'm going to die. This is going to be so embarrassing.
I'm home, sweetheart. I'm home.
And she says, don't worry. I don't know why she's Spanish. Don't worry. It's just a marriage of convenience. It's just a visa marriage.
Whose pants are these? Whose pants are these on the living room floor?
Why is the Lighthouse Family playing? You said yeah.
Lighthouse Family.
Sorry, we really made a meal of that.
On your sex mix.
But this opportunity has come to once in a lifetime, right? It's pretty clear that she wants to have an affair of sorts, and I'm struggling with my head and my penis. Right. Please help me make the right choice.
Right.
Okay, so morally, terrible idea, because she's married.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Well, do it? Yeah. I mean, I know he shouldn't do it.
Okay, you shouldn't do it.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, just thinking out loud. No, I won't do it. But should I do it?
You definitely shouldn't do it. But
if you really want to,
yeah, don't do
it. No, no, I don't think you should do it at all.
I
don't think you should do it at all.
No, unless you want to.
No, unless you want to and you're selfish.
Look, maybe get... Oh, God.
If you're dying, you should do it. I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should do it at all.
You shouldn't do it.
No, it's wrong.
But maybe.
No, it's wrong.
No, definitely don't do it.
It's wrong.
It's a terrible idea. Go, you know what you should do instead is just pack your bag, go camping for the weekend.
And yeah.
Get one of those little fire things, make yourself some ambrosia rice pudding on your own. Sit by the coast, watch the sunset. Don't have an affair with a married woman. That's a terrible idea, that you're disgracing the sanctity of marriage if you do that.
I mean, I'm not entirely...
Maybe do it.
I'm not particularly concerned about the sanctity or whatever, you know, the religious feeling of it. Just if you're screwing someone else over, that's just not cool.
It's not cool.
So just don't do
it. Except it would be quite cool.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Definitely don't do it. But maybe do it. You shouldn't ever have an... They've made a deal with each other to remain faithful. And you should not get in the middle of that.
But you're going to have sex, and then immediately after you have sex, it's all going to come very real, very suddenly. And it's not going to be a nice situation for anyone.
Yeah, except...
And what if she actually has feelings for you, and then you want to back out, and then you've just ruined a relationship?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think people have the right... Like, if someone's with someone, it's just not right. It's just, you know... I think it's you gotta have some principles, you know. You just want to do it because it's hot, which isn't reason enough. I've said my bit.
Yeah, I think you know what, Tim. I agree with you. Why are you laughing?
Because I can tell what you're gonna say.
I'm not gonna say anything. Right. I think
right.
Tim's got a good point there. Yeah, don't do it. That's the end.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
No.
It, you know, unless you want to have an affair with a married woman. You know, it'd be like a Danielle Steele novel.
Right.
You know?
And we all want to be that.
Well, you know, it'd be like the 50 Shades of Affair, whatever it's called, you know?
Right.
You're looking at me like it's a terrible idea. No. Don't do that. Don't live your life like a romance novel. Live your life like a guidebook for dummies novel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Live your life like a bowl of muesli with just not enough milk in it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
live your life like there's cereal, yeah. But there's no milk and you're using water.
Yeah, you're using muesli and water.
There you go.
And it's, you know, just, you know, have, you know, your life is a turnip, not quite cooked properly.
Live your life like it's the bowl of Weetabix and you've poured the milk in, but you got distracted and you missed the optimum Weetabix eating moment, which exists after about 60 seconds, but before 2 minutes, when there's still crunch, but a little bit of mush.
The Weetabix window.
The Weetabix crunch window.
Yeah.
Live your life like you are in that pocket.
In the window?
In the pocket.
What's the pocket?
Of the perfect Weetabix crunch
amount, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where you need to exist in life.
Uh-huh.
That's if you're going to take anything from this week's show, take that.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the show.
Right.
Thank you for joining us, and please join us next week for more nothing. And if you have any questions, please write in ebp@excitableboypodcast.co.uk. And maybe open your phone right now. Go to that little purple podcast app in the search bit. Type Excitable Boy. Leave us a review.
Yeah.
Thank you for the people that leave reviews.
High five.
Bye. Here's some music.
Bye.
I'm making that up, of course.
Yeah.
I'm making that up, of course.
Yeah.